Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hey friend, how's it going? I hope you're having a great week. I have been having an amazing week, and I'm actually kind of on cloud nine lately. Things have been really kicking butt with business and with this podcast. So I know that I think a couple episodes ago, I told you guys that the Money Nerds Podcast, we were nominated for a Plutus Award for Best New Personal Finance Podcast. And guess what? We freaking won. I cannot even believe that because the competition was incredibly fierce. So I'm extremely honored and very, very grateful for this trophy. It was actually a trophy that I got. So I'm pretty stoked about that. So congrats to us. It was me and you that actually won this award. Definitely not a podcast without you listening in. So I appreciate it. Thanks for your help on getting this. And that's pretty cool. So we can all celebrate and pop bottles together. Or maybe not if you're not a champagne person like me. We can drink rosé. How about that? Okay. Have you ever wanted to be a blogger or actually wanted to like own your own business or do anything of the online space? If so, this episode's for you. Learning how to write copy is incredibly important. And if you're thinking, what the heck is copy? It's basically just your written words. That's really all it is. It's the way you communicate in a cohesive manner, ideally. And it's incredibly important if you're a business owner, but it's especially important if you want to be a better communicator in your job. And we all know the person who can communicate clearly sometimes gets the best promotion. So it's something that we should all learn. And if you ever have to manage a website or a blog or write articles or anything at all in your job or your business, then you're definitely going to want to listen into this episode. But before we do that, let's dive into my absolute favorite segment, The Money Wins. Okay. This money win comes from Holly. Holly says, I can't believe how expensive medical bills are. Preach it, girl. I had $700 for a test and $800 is still pending with insurance. I was paying $100 a month, but I finally said, screw it, and paid it full from my savings. It feels so good to have that out of my hair. Now here's to hoping the rest pending isn't too expensive. Hashtag money win. Holly, congrats. I'm proud of you for paying off your medical debt. That is something that definitely lingers above my head too. It's not a fun thing. When I had my appendix taken out, I get it. That debt is really expensive and it can be a huge pain in the butt. So I'm super, super proud of you for paying off your medical bills. Way to go, my friend. All right, guys, let's dive into today's episode. Today's episode was with Liz Teresa. She's an online business expert from the Boston area with skills and breadth of experience in copywriting, biz dev, online marketing, graphic design, and web development. The bulk of her work has been with entrepreneurs and small businesses. She's the host of her own podcast about life and entrepreneurship called Liz on Biz, which is available on iTunes. I highly suggest checking it out. She is such a powerhouse and God, her personality is just amazing. You're going to love it. I promise. She founded Concept to Creation, which is her flagship program in which she blends kind of her role as both a strategist and a designer and developer for her clients. So she's definitely multifaceted for sure. She was recently featured Women Business Owner in WEUSA and has also been credited in Business News Daily, CEO Blog Nation. And she was recently published for an article, How to Get Divorced and Not Want to Die, in Elephant Journal. She has a master's degree in English from Bridgewater State University. In this episode, we talked about bootstrapping her business, which if you know me, I'm a big fan of bootstrapping. I think that's the best way to go. The secret behind her business's success, advice for people who are in quote unquote unemployable degrees. So some of the liberal arts degrees, which I think are amazing foundations. And she gives you some really great advice on how to approach that too, or how to articulate that at awkward dinner conversations with family. I always understand that. We talk about how she got her master's degree for free. The art of pursuing the little things. This one was really life-changing for me. The hilarious story of taking back Victoria's Secret bras. Yeah, you're going to love it. Marketing strategies that we need to be careful of. So marketers are really good. These are things to watch out for. What makes a great website and why learning copywriting is important, even if you aren't trying to start your own business. Guys and gals, I am so excited to introduce you to my friend, Liz Teresa from LizTeresa.com. Let's do it. All right, guys. Welcome back to another episode. Today, I am joined by one of my new friends that I feel like I've known for a million years, Liz Teresa. Liz, thank you so much for joining and hanging out with me today.
Oh my God, Whitney, you're just the greatest. We've met twice for everyone listening, and I just feel like it's true. It's love at first podcast.
I know. It's so good though when you find people that you can connect with and you can chat and have actual conversations with. It's so much fun. So I'm really honored that we were able to connect and get to chit chat a little bit.
Yeah, you honor me. I'm honored by you.
Oh, that's like mutual honor. Like, look at this.
Mutual honor.
People we're are like throwing up in their mouths.
Oh man. Yeah. They're like, this is going to get gross.
They're like, what is going on here? So, okay. You're at LizTeresa.com. You've got a podcast that's phenomenal. Liz on Biz. So if you guys are listening in and you're looking for a new one to listen to, go check that podcast out. It's hilarious. It's great. It's Liz in a nutshell. I love it. So before we get into like what you're doing today and we get to the highlight reel, which is LizTeresa.com, can you take us back a little bit and tell us like how the hell you actually got to where you were today?
Oh, I love telling this story. Okay. Obviously you came on my show and you got to tell this story, but like when I never get to do this, so I'm so excited to tell you. I started my business in 2011. I actually, in undergrad, I went to Stonehill College in Eastern Mass and I studied English and theater arts. And so at that time, just to set the scene, that was 2009 and Twitter was just invented. So like wow. In the internet world. Yeah. So such a weird time. So I had a Twitter account cause I thought I was very cool, but I didn't really understand what it was for. When I went to my graduate program, I was pursuing a master's in English with an emphasis on writing. And that is when I was working at a television studio on campus. And there was a man who was actually, he worked for the college at Bridgewater State University, and he had his own social media marketing firm on the side. Like he like was an administrator though. Like he was kind of like one of those, I don't know, assistant to the dean, but not that like, you know, fancy.
That's
but
awesome.
That was like what he did. Yeah. And he wanted me to teach him how to do video editing. And so I did. And then he was like, well, let me fix your Twitter account. Like everything you're doing with your personal brand is wrong. And I was like, personal brand? He was like, you know, marketing. And then like when he said marketing, all I thought of was like my friends that sold Avon or like people trying to get me to sell knives. And like it just sounded like I was like, is this a thing? Like what's marketing? Like, and so the conversation kind of just like went from there. And then I became really, really obsessed with online marketing. I was trying to help my parents' business at the time. They owned they actually owned a company called Morse Diving, which is it's the oldest diving equipment manufacturing company in the world.
That's
since
awesome.
1837. Yeah, it's no longer in business anymore, which is a much longer story because my parents sold it to someone else. However, yeah, so I was trying to get better at social media originally for them. Then I was like, oh, hey, I'm really good at this. So then I decided I wanted to go into like marketing writing after I graduated with my master's. And then I actually, what changed everything is that I went to this interview. And this is crazy for a company called wigs.com and they sell wigs like for your head, you know, wigs. And it was for a copywriting position. And my role would be to write product descriptions for the wigs on the site. And the guy was like, he was like, my resume was all tricked out, of course, like graphically designed because like I do design work too. And he was like, this job will kill you. And I don't want to give it to you because you're so overqualified. He said, I can't break your spirit like that. So I think you should go. And like, and I was like, what?
Oh.
And I was like, does that mean I did well? Like, and so like, I was like driving home and I'm like, what does this mean? And at the time I was also selling insurance. Like this is how many things that I've done. It's weird. Nice. I used to sell, and I actually am still a licensed insurance agent in the state of Massachusetts just because like you can get commission like forever. So why not keep your license? So I am licensed to sell insurance. And at the time I was doing that anyway. So then I was like, hey, maybe I'll just do social media consulting. And kind of from there, Liz Teresa was sort of born, at least the first iteration of it. And then over the years, I realized that your marketing is only as good as your website. So then I was like, I really need to be kind of a full service agency in order to get my clients like results that actually like matter, results that actually mean anything. So then it became design marketing. And so with the word marketing, of course, copywriting and all those other wonderful things that exist underneath it. But yeah, so that's kind of how it came into fruition. And now it's like me. And then I have a lead developer and I have an assistant, Ashley, who's just oh gosh, so funny. And she loves my ridiculous sense of humor. She's like the kind of person you can say offensive things to and she's never offended.
Oh, I love those people. They're hard to find.
Yeah. Oh, so it's like all I need. I'm like, what do I need in an assistant? Most people are like detail oriented, self-motivated. And I'm like, I need an audience. Like I need someone to laugh when I am terrible.
No, I get that. Cause especially we've got the same type of personality where you've got to be able to bounce ridiculous things off of somebody else and get that feedback. And when you're laughing, for me at least, that's when I'm the most creative. Mm-hmm. And that's when I get some of the best ideas. I'm like, how did that come out of a joke? But it usually does. It's weird how that works.
Oh yeah. Humor. Totally. That's where I don't know how to not laugh. That's my whole brand. It's like, if you can't, I say it on my site and I'll say it here. If you're abrasive, if people don't like you, please don't email me because I'm not interested. Like it just means that you'll hate me because I just can't not have fun. I refuse.
That's so awesome. I love this story. I like how you got your background's in English and in writing. I think that's really cool because a lot of people would see that and they would immediately think, oh, that's not an employable degree. And so I love that you proved it wrong. You found not only like a job and you found a lot of different ways to apply that degree, but more than anything, you created your own future. But I want to hear a little bit more about your first year of business. What did that look like?
I was very much a 9-to-5er until I went full time in my business, but like I went 9-to-5 with the insurance thing. So I used the insurance money to kind of like burgeon the growth of Liz Teresa. So what I did my first year was that I did Monday through Thursday, 9-to-5 was selling insurance. And then Friday, 9-to-5 was Liz Teresa. And then the weekends was Liz Teresa. And then nights, Monday through Thursday was Liz Teresa. So I didn't have a boyfriend at the time. So by the way, wicked time saver, you're not in a relationship. So then that was kind of like the first year. And then over time, it would be like Monday through Wednesday was insurance and then Thursday, Friday was Liz Teresa. And then it would be, okay, well, Monday, Tuesday's insurance, but Wednesday through Friday, Liz Teresa. And then it was eventually like, I just didn't have time to sell insurance anymore because my business was its own animal. And then that's when I got Office Space, was probably about the second year, which was like so exciting.
That's incredible too, because I don't know if most people understand this, but getting your business to a point where you can quit your 9-to-5 and go all in within 2 years is freaking incredible. So what was the secret behind your success there? Was there anything you were doing that helped you perpetuate that growth?
Talking like all the time to people that I thought were like smarter than me. Mm-hmm. And so to give you an example, there's this girl, it would be so weird if she's like one of your listeners. I don't care. I'll tell you who she is. Her name's Caitlin Aliano. And so she has a Twitter account. Oh my God. It'd be so weird if you knew her. Yeah. So she was this girl who I met honestly when I was in my master's degree on Twitter, we met. And I guess what this story would show you is that like when you meet certain people, it can change everything. So like she introduced me to like 25 people that all were like kind of like me. And like, so that earned me clients, referrals, and it expanded my network. So what I guess I'm saying is use social media, but like use it strategically, and then you can get connected to people that can really take you higher. So I use her as an example. And I mean, I've told her this is like, she introduced me to like my first few clients and like my first few colleagues. And there are some people that I still work with and know because of that original connection. It's just her. It's just cause she liked me. I think
that's
she like
amazing.
Thought I was fun.
Well,
yeah.
You are pretty fun.
You know? Oh, I didn't know. Stop.
You're like, I know, right?
Stop. I'm so shy. No, I'm not.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't like being the center of attention.
It's like the worst thing ever. So I love that you were able to connect. And I think that's really good advice of connecting with people that you think are smarter than you, even though they're probably not. Maybe they're a little bit more experienced, but we're all smart in different ways. I really do believe that. But I'm kind of curious about if you have any advice for other people that are in like English majors, English degrees that are trying to figure out this whole, like, what the heck do I do next in my life? And they're told by everybody, which is very sad, that it's not an employable degree. Do you have any advice for those people?
Well, first, punch everyone in the face that tells you that. But like, no, don't, because that's probably a bad idea.
I think it's frowned upon.
I hear that punching people is frowned upon. But I guess I would say think of an English degree not as something that you have to compensate for, like, as I feel like you might feel like, oh, I have to get more internships, or, oh, I should go volunteer more, which actually you should volunteer more. But oh my gosh. What I wanted to say is to leverage what you're already good at. So I think an English degree, and I actually feel this way about other liberal arts degrees, it actually makes you more adaptable to a wider variety of industries. So you're not pigeonholed to teaching. So for me, what I wanted to make sure I did, and I think that this resonates with like millennials, my fellow millennials, my fellow Americans and millennials, is that you would probably want to find something that, like, you don't have to think about the word purpose too much, because it might feel like you're going to be thinking a long time, but something that really you can enjoy or that you want to like try. And that was kind of even how I got my English degrees. I just kind of was viewing my world with the idea that I wanted to like try new things. And I was like, hey, that class looks interesting. And then together, all the classes that I thought looked interesting ended up being an English major. And that's really how I majored in English. I wasn't trying to know all the answers. And I think that our instinct to kind of answer questions we're not ready to answer is what gets us into trouble in the first place. And it gets people into jobs that they don't want to be in. So I guess I would say, what do you enjoy? Because English can translate into marketing, it can translate into business, copywriting, social media, as an already alternative, projection. But then there's also like publishing, there's editing, there's journalism. My brother's a fabulously successful journalist, although not an English major, but I know he works with people that have English degrees. I guess I would say embrace your versatility and see it as versatility, and then focus on selling yourself to wherever you want, because you know you're badass and the people will see that in you, and you know.
That's cool. I think that's really good advice too, is embrace the versatility. I think that's definitely a good takeaway for everybody listening. I'm curious, would you go back and do your master's again, knowing what you know now?
Oh, definitely. And I think just because I got it for free, so I'd be crazy not to.
Whoa.
I was actually, yeah.
How did that happen?
I was a graduate assistant. And so basically, are you familiar with graduate assistantship?
I am, but tell everybody listening in case they're not.
So graduate assistantship is something that's offered, I would say, at almost all universities that have master's degrees, at least all the ones I was looking at, in some form or another. Sometimes they're called graduate research assistantships, or sometimes they're actually graduate assistantships. So at Bridgewater State University, where I was welcomed. They genuinely accepted me just on merit, because I was such a smarty pants undergrad. My GPA was adorable and wonderful. And so I got in with flying colors. And then once I got in, I was like, well, hey, I kind of pursued a master's too, in full disclosure, just because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I don't think I always think education is by far the best investment, like talking money wise, it's the best investment you can ever make in yourself. And so I never say to shy away from investing in yourself, at least in terms of education, because you're always going to grow and become a better person. And so that was kind of the other reason why I wanted to get my master's. And so, yeah, I looked for schools that had assistantship programs. And then I think of the schools that I got accepted to, like Simmons University in Boston, they were going to give me like a big award, but their assistantship didn't give you 100%, but Bridgewater gave you 100%. And it's honestly an easier drive. And so I wanted to do Bridgewater State. So they gave me 100% tuition just like for free. So I didn't pay. And then I got fees waived and I got free parking. And so the only thing I paid for were my books on Kindle. Which was cheap. Cause like, I mean, I'm an English person. So like, it's just like buy Beowulf, 99 cents.
That's right.
Like, it wasn't a big deal.
All the classics.
Yeah. All the classics.
That is amazing. I love that you were able to find a way to pay for higher ed without any debt, because Liz, that is one of the common problems that I'm seeing with most of the listeners and just people that I work with in general, is they're way overburdened with student loan debt. And it's so sad, but I love that you found an option.
There is an option.
Yeah.
Just if you're willing to look, I mean, I even got my application fee waived just because I said I didn't want to pay it because everything's friggin' expensive. And that was like really what I said. And I said, I'm sorry. Just because I mean, I have a ton of debt. Like I could wear a shirt that says, what up? I have debt. Like, but it would probably bum everyone out. But I've embraced my debt because for me, I'm so blessed that I can pay it. I do have debt from undergrad is what I'm getting at, but I don't have debt for my master's program. So I'm very grateful for that.
I think that's huge too. That's totally huge. Even if you can save just a little bit. And I like that you just flat out said, hey, I don't want to pay this fee.
No, I just said I didn't want to. I think it was like $50. I mean, and here's the thing. Oh my gosh. Here's a money thing. Okay. I tried this mask like the other day, like, you know, those face masks that you can buy at CVS that are like $3.
Is it the black ones that like peel your skin all off too?
Okay. No, those are terrifying. Those are so scary. I can't even. This is a cucumber mask. And so it's made by this company called Yes to Carrots. And I hope they're not a sponsor of yours. That would be awkward. Because I actually like a lot of their products. So they have this one called Cucumber. It's like for cucumbers and supposed to cool your skin down, be relaxing. You know, like picture the lady with the cucumbers on her eyes, you know, like the spa looking lady. So that's what this is supposed to do. So I was like, oh, that sounds relaxing. I think I shall partake in this $3 mask. So I buy it. And then I go home, my face is like on fire. Oh, it's like not relaxing. I'm not that allergic to things. I'm sensitive, but I mean, I can usually throw something on like a beauty product and it's not the end of the world. Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? The principle of the thing. So sometimes I'm all about like the principle of the thing. And so then I emailed Yes to Carrots and I go, hey, what up? Like your mask, like burned my face off. And so now I have a free voucher for a new mask. So it's like, I'm saying pursue the things that are even the little things. And you know what I mean? And I'm also a person that like takes things back. Like if they suck, like at CVS, I'm like, take everything back to CVS. I don't know why I'm thinking about them so much, but like if I buy something and I think it's a terrible product, I am a person that would take it back because what are you doing? Like, I mean, like if you think about money as a thing that you know, use to invest in things, not just things that you know, it's not a thing that you spend on things,
right?
You know, I mean, just that word, invest. Like I'm not investing $3 in a mask. I'm going to get something out of that mask. I'm not letting that mask keep me down.
Despite all the third degree burns, you know?
Yeah. No, I was like, I expect tingling. Then there's tingling. And then when tingling turns to fire on your face,
oh damn, something's wrong.
So then, yeah, no, I took care of that situation. But yeah, no, that's like hilarious. The word.
You know, I like that you do that. Cause I've got to be honest. I am not. Oh, this is almost embarrassing to say. I don't take stuff back as much as I should. So if that were to happen to me, I'd be like, oh, it's fine. But that is such a bad thing to do because I think that carries over to other areas too, and that power of asking. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm not an asker.
Yeah. You know what? And like there are times that I won't take things back. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I can think of it. There are times though, but yeah. I'm for all intents and purposes, I would describe myself as a person that keeps the receipt. And then like, if I'm dissatisfied, I take it back. Like,
smart.
Like, I mean, there was a time and I'm not as proud of this, but I'll tell you about it. So Victoria's Secret has a policy that you can forever take back stuff. I don't know if you know this, like nobody knows this,
but that's awesome.
Okay. So like I had like bras from Victoria's Secret. I'm not proud of this. I'm telling everybody. This is like their first meeting.
Confession.
Oh, Liz Teresa says she takes back old bras, but I took back like all these bras that were like, they're definitely past their expiration date. But like, I had a friend that worked at Victoria's Secret and she's like, oh, if you take it back, they have to give you the minimum price for it. And so like, they give you $15 a bra.
What?
So you can take back, yeah, and store credit. So then you can just take back all your old bras as long as they're from there and then get like a new one.
Man, what about like 7 years?
They don't care. It's like, cause they have like, they don't say it's a lifetime guarantee, but it is. Cause they'll take back anything that's Victoria's Secret.
That
which is like,
so crazy.
Like, why? Change your return policy. So I did it once and then hated myself because I took back like 5 bras and I got like a really like $80 one that was, I think it was called The Fabulous, and man, it was fabulous.
Was
so,
it really fabulous? Is worth $80?
Yeah. Well, I didn't pay it. It came out of old bra money.
See,
that I would have never.
That's a good money hack. So for those of you listening, they're like, how do I get a new bra? Take your old ones back.
Maybe do a shot beforehand and don't drive yourself. So that way, you know, you have courage, like liquid courage. But like, yeah, I mean, cause honestly I went The girl was like, she gave me a face like, are we doing this? And I was like, we're doing this. Oh, and I went like, down. Like nobody was there. So like, it was like 11 o'clock on a Tuesday. So if you're going to be a pain in the butt, do it when nobody's there. So you don't hate yourself and they don't hate you as much. But yeah, no, you can totally do that.
That's so awesome. I love it. Oh man. I'm going to get us
look at these
back.
Never.
I mean, these are good. These are good, Liz.
They are good. The Victoria's Secret one, it's like, that's my secret shame. I've never done it again because now I switched to maiden form. And it's like, but I don't know why. It's like, I don't know. I went away from Victoria's Secret. I think it was like because the Victoria's Secret has tags in the back. And I'm like, that's so itchy.
It is. They're going away from those, but they're still kind of there. It's a thing. Yeah. It's so funny. So speaking of marketing and bras, now that we're on this topic, people are like, where the heck are they going with this? I've been noticing a lot of the Third Love stuff. Have you seen these?
I've tried Third Love.
Okay, so I am fascinated with their marketing. So I want to hear from your perspective of like social media marketing and stuff. What are they doing well that's making them stand out so much?
The try-on. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll tell people what this is. So Third Love, and I think True Co used to do the try on, but True Co does no longer does it. But have you ever heard of True & Co? Or it's called True & Company?
I don't think so.
They market themselves. It's so weird. Those two companies, they market themselves so the same. Like they all use beige and gray. It's like they use these like very light pulled back color palettes in similar fonts. But they basically at the same time, they were marketing the concept of a try on. And so you could pay $3 to try on any of their bras, and then they'd give you free shipping to send it back, or you could just choose to buy it. And so I did the try on because I was in the market to switch away from Victoria's Secret. This is true. and it was before I realized that I liked maiden form just fine, which you can get at Macy's. But I did want to try True & Co just because, Third Love. Wow. Mm-hmm. See, there's a branding problem.
I know.
So that's what they're doing wrong is they market themselves too close to their competition because I get them confused. But the try on, the concept that you could do that, like actually be able to try a product before you can commit to the full purchase. It's kind of like the equivalent I saw it this way. It's like the equivalent of like a 14-day free trial on any kind of software that you buy or like any kind of online service you pay for. So that's kind of, I think that like psychologically a buyer, it's such an easy yes. So I guess what we can learn from companies like that is what is an easy yes for, you know, if you have a business or if you want to like, you know, get somebody to do something. And that's kind of what it is. It's an easy yes buy. But I didn't end up buying the actual bra, but to be honest, I wish I wanted to, because at the time I was like desperate for something that was like comfortable.
Oh, it's the worst. But
their straps were kind of itchy on me.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. And I was like, that's unusual because they market themselves. Everybody's like going to bed in a bra. And I'm like, who does that?
No, nobody.
These women snuggling with very soft blankets and then bras. And I'm like, I don't think that's how that works.
That's not real life.
not true life. True life is a giant t-shirt on the couch.
That has holes in it.
Like with terrible woolen blanket. And you're like, this blanket's itchy, but I'm happy.
But I'm warm. I love it. You're spot on. So it's like that easy yes. And I think from a business perspective, it makes a lot of sense. Even from a consumer perspective, this is the kind of marketing traps we got to watch out for, because they are designed to get us to spend money. Like that's what they're really good at.
Yeah. You know, Redbox, it's like, oh, $1 a day. Like, and it's within a 24-hour period. And so, but I mean, I'm like a Redbox. I'm crazy. I only do it if I have a free night rental and then like I race there to give it back.
Really? So. I don't even have a DVD player anymore. No joke.
Oh, we used a PS4.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah. So that's the only reason why.
That makes sense.
But I don't have like, personally, I don't have a DVD player.
Yeah. I'm always so concerned like how those types of, they can't last much longer. I mean, they just can't.
No, I don't think so. I think Redbox could go like the way of like online video rental, like video streaming rental, like Google Play.
That would be a good idea. They probably should.
They're going to try. They're probably listening and they're like, yes, yes, do what she says, everyone.
Or jokes on me, they're already doing it. That happens a lot too.
Back it up. By the time this airs, they will have like taken over Amazon. That would be the weirdest thing
that
ever.
That would be never amazing though.
Redbox, what a comeback.
In a month, what is this?
The Money Nerds podcast, they said this was going to happen.
Yeah, we're going to have to start doing our business predictions and...
my gosh. Yes. Yes.
That's hilarious. So let's talk a little bit about copywriting on people's websites, because I see a ton of websites as well. And some of them are great and some of them are not so great. So from your perspective, what makes a good website?
Well, if it says designed and developed by Liz Teresa, that's one indicator that it's amazing. No, I'm just kidding. I'm like, check the footer and see my name. No,
Hashtag truth.
Hashtag truth. Hashtag truth bomb. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. But I guess what I would say to look for in terms of copywriting, I'll speak to that kind of first, because I think you can have a very ickety pile of puke website and still have it actually work pretty well for you if your words are like awesome. Like if your message is on point and like it could be on a t-shirt, then you're doing something right. There's a few ways to kind of, there's a few like, and I will give, I'll call them left brain hacks of ways of looking at your copy. And I would say number one would be to see like if on every page, asking yourself this, is it easy to see on every page who you are, like who you help, and what you help them with. In other words, on every page of your website, is it obvious to some strange alien that lands there what your website's about and like what they're doing there? So that's kind of number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, I would say the second most like important thing would be, what is your primary call to action? So like your site can have many calls to action, but I want it to be wicked obvious. What's the wicked obvious thing that you want people to do when they get there? And I want it to be infinitely easier to do that than anything else. And you can have kind of a few main calls to action, but if your primary isn't like so primary it won the primaries, then like it needs to be amplified. And I would say that's kind of like a number two. And then also number three, in your calls to action, are your calls to action resonating with the problem that you solve? So like knowing your target market really well kind of will help you answer this question, like the problem that you solve, and that can feel like a really tall order. Like if you have a really big glass and you got to fill it and then drink it, that's like a lot of work. So I guess what I would say is sometimes a really easy way to think about the problem that you solve is to think about what's the number one benefit people get when they work with you or they talk to you or use your product or service. Mm-hmm. Like what's the thing that they say, thank you, because now I feel blah. Well, if you turn that happy blah upside down, a happy benefit is a really bad problem upside down.
Like, that's awesome.
Other side. So you can use that. Like you can look at a testimonial and invert it, and that's your problem. Another way to think about your problem is like if you do consultations or even just looking at your contact form inquiries, what are people complaining about? Like here's something I hear. Dear Liz, my website smells like a pile of bad spaghetti. Like I would like you to make me one that's like really baller and cool like you, because you're so cool. Your biggest fan. Whitney.
No, how'd you know? Don't tell everybody.
No, your website's actually awesome, but I didn't make it. No, but yeah, that's, you're like, oh, it's confidentiality. No, it wasn't you. but that's what I would kind of say is kind of keeping those three things in mind. Mm-hmm. Would be a really good idea.
That's a good place to start. And I think for a lot of people too, they are looking at their website as maybe like an online blog where they don't actually intend to make money from it, or, you know, it's just for fun. It's just a little side hustle here and there. But I think even with those pieces, it's super important that you be very aware of what does your audience want to hear about? What do they care about? What's that problem? And then ultimately, like you said, make sure that your picture is everywhere on that website. And that same very simple t-shirt approved, this is what I do to help people. I think that's really good advice.
And repetition is not repetition. Repetition is necessary for good marketing. Oh, so it's going to feel redundant as hell. But like, dude, picture idiots on your site. And they're not idiots, but you have to picture idiots. Yeah. Like, because people need things repeated. Like there's a marketing statistic that's probably been made up, but I feel like it's kind of true, is that you have to tell somebody to do something 7 times before they're even going to do it. Even if it's like a very easy ask, even if it's goodness. Like, fill out this form and then get my ebook because it'll, I don't know, make you, I don't know, have gold in your pocket tomorrow. I don't, I'm just making stuff up.
That's a good one. I'd sign up.
Like, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm like, gold in my pocket tomorrow? like the gold fairy is going to come tonight while you're supposed to put stuff in your pocket.
It's a thing, guys. It's a thing.
The gold fairy. Yeah, no. And so, yeah, yeah, fill out this form and the gold fairy will bring you gold. And everybody would fill it out. But like, some people would just be like, oh, it's just another form. Like our brains are actually getting trained to be like dismissive of that because there's like so much inundation with like, do this. So yeah, if you have to ask somebody something that many times, like, I mean, my fiance, when we first met, he asked me out like a few times before I said yes. It's terrible. I'm like, he's so wonderful. I was such a jerk. But it's true. Like, I mean, sometimes, you know, you gotta be a hustler.
You do. You do have to be persistent. So what's your take on pop-up forums? Are you a fan or nah?
Oh, no, because I hate them. But like, I'm the worst marketer ever because every person will be like, you need to have a pop-up form because yes, they work. But I'm like, you know what? Why piss off people? Like, I'd rather have higher quality leads like than people that fill out a form just because they were so aggravated they finally did it. I mean, and then they're like pop-ups. You also can't discriminate who's already opted in from who hasn't. And so then people who've already made an investment in you in terms of like sharing their information, they're being told to opt in and like they probably already did.
And so like I already got this.
It's just, I just think they're gross. Google is like hacking away at your SEO if you use a pop-up. So
it's true. They really are cracking down on that too. And I think it's probably a good thing. I'm with you. I think I've got one pop-up.
Serenade someone.
Yeah.
You know?
just sing to them. Just.
Yeah. Like I'd rather have like a cheesy website that sings a song about opting in because at least it's not throwing it in your face. And I'm pretty good. I could do it. I could sing.
I believe that you could. My last podcast guest was singing too, and he was singing.
Really?
Yeah, it was Joe Saul Sehy. He's from Stacking Benjamin's podcast.
Oh yeah.
Hilarious. So go check out that episode. Well, he was telling a story about his family going hiking quite a bit.
Yeah.
And as they were hiking, his kids made up a song called God Bless My Underpants. And oh my God. I'll be damned if he's saying that whole song. I was like, this is great. I was being serenaded to.
I was going to say that's good TV, but that's good podcasting.
It was right there. So hilarious. I got the biggest kick. So if you want to sing your tunes too, I mean, you're more than welcome to one up, Joe.
I might wait till a song comes to me, but I do know that like whenever it makes me think of like how whenever I make fun of my dad, I always make him sing whatever he was saying. And then I do like jazz hands, like Catherine Hepburn style, like ridiculous. And then my mom is like, it just kills my mom. But I can't think of like one that I did recently. Although yesterday I definitely did him singing because I think he was saying the Patriots were going to lose because I'm from Patriot country. I'm sorry. I'm already sorry about it. Like, please don't hurt me. But yeah, I think he was like, oh, like, goddamn Tom Brady. And like, I'm like, really? Like, we had like 30 points on the board at that time. But yeah, no. And then I was like, oh, Tom Brady, what are you doing out there? Like, jazzy, like 1920s singing. And because I just act like that's how he talks. And
that's so awesome.
My God. Everybody was just like, that's listening in the car, just turned this down.
I'm like, who is she? I love it. I think it's hilarious.
Like, wait, what is she? After this, they'll be like, wait, what does she even do?
She
like,
sings. She's a singer. You guys didn't pick up on that yet? Invite.
Yeah, I know. I'm singing at this.com.
She's a professional singer. That's so. So recently I watched Beauty and the Beast, the new one. Mm-hmm. And God, for like 2 days straight, I was making up songs to be our guest. And everything goes to that song. So if you're looking for a little singing hack, literally everything will go to that song. And so it was kind of annoying. I think even my dog was getting sick of me.
You could do a Money Nerds song that goes to that. And it could be like, the Money Nerds, come on the show and learn about money.
Another stuff.
Isn't it something like that?
Yeah, I think that could totally work. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you have it. You don't have to ask.
That's going to be my new intro. Just wait.
And then it'll be like sung by Liz Treese. And people be like, who is that? Who is Treese?
Also does websites.
Also does websites.
Can you imagine? So ridiculous.
Oh, it would just be so fitting for my brand.
I mean, I think it would go. I think it would be.
It really would. If it doesn't go, it actually goes really well with Liz Treese branding.
So, okay, let's get real for a sec. So okay. I'm like, all right, and we won't sing anymore, which I think is fun, but So yeah. If somebody is looking at potentially hiring you or somebody else to do their website, at what point in the game should they actually consider that, in your opinion?
Oh, like when is somebody ready for a website?
Yeah. Like, how do you know when you should actually invest the money?
If you're ready to take your business seriously, that's when you're ready to buy a website. And the reason why I think it's a good idea to invest in like a custom website, you would never want to just like, here's what I would say. You never want to just hire somebody or Google web designer and see where that goes. You'd always want to hire somebody that like you, if you see a site you like and somebody made it, that's one indication. But ideally you have a friend that worked with somebody and they know them in a personal way. Mm-hmm. Cause that's like, honestly, my best clients are my referrals, cause it'll be people that like my process. Because they heard like from so-and-so, oh, Liz is so nice and funny. And like, she listens to you and takes the time. So making sure that like you like that person's approach, is also a really good idea. I also have a guide. Honestly, it's actually called Liz's Bonafide Website Guide. And it has like all these things that you need to do to like before you're ready to actually like have a website. Because I, and like knowing the difference as well between a designer and a developer, people don't know that stuff.
Mm-mm, they don't. I think that's cool. So that'll be linked in the show notes, guys, if you want to grab her guide, Liz's Bonafide Website Guide. Love it. You also have another thing that you're going to be sharing with our audience too, and that's five things your copy isn't doing for you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So kind of similar. I shared a couple of the things, true to full disclosure. When you asked me that other question about websites, like, I don't know, like if your copy's working on your website. Mm-hmm. So it's going to give you very linear, simple tips and ways of kind of like self-diagnosing, you know, mistakes that you might be making with your copy. Like if you're saying things to send people spinning from your, from the proverbial room that is your website, here are things that you can say to make them want to marry you, or in ways, you know, five ways of looking at what you're already doing. And you don't need to be like, you really don't need to be a copywriter to do this stuff. You could just be a person with ears that can like, you know, somebody that understands things, to be able to look at the work that you're already doing and thinking of ways, five easy ways to enhance kind of your strategy.
I love it. And you know what too, this just hit me, but it's so true for copywriting specifically. If people are listening and they're thinking, I don't want to be an entrepreneur, that's not my thing, it's not in my path, you still do copywriting every single day. If you use email, if you do website updating for your maybe your 9 to 5, like you're constantly using copywriting. So this stuff is very applicable too.
Improving the way you communicate with your friends and family. I mean, like you don't want to be that person on Facebook everybody unfollows because you're so annoying. Sorry.
I'm like, I hope that's not me, but you never know.
Triggered.
Like, we're done hearing about money, Whitney.
Yeah. We've had enough.
This is BS.
Oh, that's so sad. No, they're not saying that. They love you. You're so great.
You stop that. This is enough of that love fest.
I can't imagine you having mean people. That'd be terrible. Just send them to LizTeresa.com. I will take care of them.
Girlfriend, if you need a good time, go to my YouTube channel and look at the comments on some of my videos.
Horrifying.
They are hilariously terrible. And I read those. I'm like, who are these people?
They're jealous of you. You and your, they're like, oh, Whitney has a podcast, so I'm just going to be mean because I don't have a podcast.
That's what I'm telling myself that too. There's some people funny do that ones to me. There. Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, just jealous all the time. No, I'm just being very just silly.
Jealous all the time. Hate is gonna hate.
Hate is gonna hate. What can you do? This yeah, no. Hilarious. But copy, the thing that's wonderful about copy is that it's so easy to do it right. Like, and once it's right, like, I mean, you'll notice an astronomical difference. And it's also not a set it and forget it thing. And neither are websites. That's like a common belief is that like, if you do invest in a custom website, that you'll never have to maintain it. Like websites, businesses, words, everything's like cars. I mean, like, like they require maintenance, and they're going to change over time. And that's because you're going to change. And so like, that's something else that I would add is that like, when you do some of the exercises that I give you in that, in the copywriting handout, like, you're going to want to do it again in a few months. I mean, it's a good idea to do it again because I re-examine even my own stuff all the time.
That's a good advice. I like it. So Liz, let's start, unfortunately, wrapping it up. So that's sad, but true. So give everybody maybe a couple either money tips that you personally are a huge fan of, or even entrepreneurial tips, anything you think might be helpful to our listeners.
I would say if you're a person, I'm going to give like maybe one each. So people starting a business, I guess what I want you to do is to be able to answer the question, who do you want to work with? Like ahead of the problem that you're going to help them solve, because I want you, your business is going to be what you're good at anyway. And like, so what you know how to do is so much easier to fill in than knowing who you want to work with. And I haven't even said the words target market, but like, that's because everybody thinks target market has to be hard. Like you have to like fill out a worksheet about what they'd order at Starbucks or like what kind of brand of shoes they buy. And it doesn't have to go that deep. I mean, there are customer avatar sheets that make me want to vom because they go that deep. I really just want you to think about who would you hang with at Starbucks for like hours and just chill and not want to leave or like hit them in the face, because that's your target audience. Like, who did you just picture? You know, that is the kind of person that you want to work with, especially like in, if you are a blog and if you're not, if you don't consider yourself a business, even if you are a blog, I want you to understand your reader and think of them when you write and understand them in that kind of a really personal way. So you could almost picture them sitting next to you and write for them. And you'll, I mean, and then it will pay in dividends, that kind of stuff. And then I guess my next money tip is take back everything. I'm a taker backer. So if you don't like something, that like, think about every penny you spend is not spent, but it's invested. And you're going to feel better about your money.
That's beautiful. I think that's the best advice in the entire world. I appreciate you sharing that stuff with us. Liz from LizTeresa.com. If they go to your website, they can also get directly to your podcast. Is that right?
Yeah, just click on podcast when you go to LizTeresa.com, or you can just search Liz on Biz on iTunes.
I love it. Thank you so much. It was so fun hanging out with you.
Oh, you are just the best. I'm so honored and excited. And yay, thank you so much, Whitney.
Of course. We'll chat soon. Okay, so what did you think? I loved this episode. I thought Liz's story was so interesting and so amazing. And one of the things that she really hit home for me was the importance of taking back things if they aren't serving a purpose for you. So if it's not up to the quality that you purchased, or if it's not what you expected, being brave enough to say, I'm going to take this back. I do not want this. This isn't what I paid for. I thought that was really smart, because I do not do that enough. I'm embarrassed to say that, but I really don't. So that's something that I'm going to be walking away from this with. And then also the importance of copywriting, how to, you know, those tips she shared about making your website stand out and speaking to people immediately. That's definitely something I'm going to be looking at with my own website to see if I can make it better or more comprehensive, I guess, of what people can expect when they come to my website. So that's the things that I took away. I'd love to hear from you. What did you learn from this episode? Leave a comment, join me on social media, tweet me, Instagram, whatever you've got to do. Let me know, what did you learn from this episode with Liz Teresa? That would be awesome. I'd love to see your feedback. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. It'll help you get the latest episodes immediately into your downloads, so you'll never miss one. I mean, you don't want to miss one of the Money Nerds podcasts. Come on. So make sure you subscribe. And then also leave a review. Reviews are amazing for me. It's that feedback I need to make sure that I am covering topics that you care about. And more importantly, it helps me attract really amazing guests like Liz. Thank you so much for listening in. And I will see you next week for another episode of the Money Nerds podcast. Bye.